I am Megan Chandler, and if this is your first time at River Park Grace, welcome. And as you will get to know us, you will know that we do things differently, not just in other places, but then ourselves. And this is one of those weeks when we're just being different than ourselves. Typically, we are in the round and make use of these televisions that we have hanging from the ceiling, but this week we are not. So I'm going to be talking about, guess? Yes, I'm going to be talking about baptism. Water. That's also accurate. So to get us into talking about this issue, where I have a feeling a lot of us have very differing views, let's pray, and so we can all just be nice to each other in a bit. Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for these generous hearts. Thank you for people who seek to follow you, who seek to follow kindness, who seek to follow goodness, who want to know more. Help me to get out of the way so they can learn more about you, God. See you full and leave this place changed. In your precious and holy name, amen. So I don't know if you've noticed, but in the Christian community, the wide world of Christian community, there are some things that are kind of divisive among the Christian community. There may be more than one denomination because of these things, typically having to do with disciplines. And when we say disciplines, and I keep on hitting that D really hard. All right, when we say disciplines, talk about like how to interpret the Bible, how to study the Bible, how to do communion, how we go about doing all of that. Tithing, the proper form of tithing, and if you'd like to share with us, our joy box is on the wall. And then, just a little aside, and then another one is baptism and how to do that. So when there is this much vehement disagreement amongst people who are very intelligent and have been studying this for many, many years, it tells me a couple of things. It tells me, one, there is not a clear answer. And it tells me, too, if these are the things that we think are important to our faith, then maybe we're approaching them the wrong way. Maybe we're missing a little bit of the point. So I'm going to be as clear as possible and let you know that I am not going to address whether or not baptism is a salvation issue this morning. But let me be very, very clear and give away the ending. I think y'all should be baptized whether or not it's a salvation issue. Okay? And you didn't leave. Thank you. All right, good. All right, when we're talking about the different disciplines, like reading the Bible and communion, often when we talk about them here, we talk about them as gifts. These are these things that are for us. And another word for that, a gift is like a treasure, like they were talking about with the children's story this morning. One of the beautiful things about treasure is that it's something that is of high value. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily necessary, right? But you wouldn't look away from a treasure just because it isn't necessary. It still has value. It's very good timing for us to discuss this being in the time of Lent. Lent is a time of us figuring out what is necessary, but also being able to redirect our eyes to what is valuable. Because sometimes, I don't know if you've had this, but when something very valuable is all around you, when there's the treasure and it's surrounding you, it kind of, if you see a lot of it, it loses its shine, right? Maybe not so much it loses its shine, but being around so much other treasure, your perception of it is lost. But when you lose it, you can then realize just how precious it was. Like, for instance, let's say you lost a phone. Like, you didn't know how precious that was until it was gone. Not for me. If you know me, you know I am horrible at responding to any kind of message with the phone. But other people are very attached to their phones. I, on the other hand, am very attached to my car, who decided this week that it was done. It was all done. Which, we didn't know that you cared so much about your car until she just died on us. If anybody knows things about cars, I'm just going to tell you very quickly, because I feel like you need to feel the pain of this. The timing chain slipped or jumped, and when it did so, it broke all the valves. And so it was funny, because then the mechanic said, I don't know exactly how this happened, but the top of the engine touched the bottom of the engine, and now it's done. And we're like, oh, okay, that's good to know. So this precious thing that we loved and valued is now gone. But on a more serious note than just random things. For those who don't know, I grew up in church, and I grew up with a family. I grew up with parents who loved me, who I had no doubt loved me and liked me. And I will freely admit that I did not recognize that for the treasure that it was. Until I meet someone and they start to tell me the story of their childhood, and I'm like, I was blessed beyond my knowledge with what I had. Because when you recognize a treasure for what it says, when you recognize its shine, then you want to keep it. So we're going to look this morning at a very shiny treasure, the shiny treasure of baptism. We're going to go through, and I'm going to do some like kind of wide, oversweeping history of baptism. Baptism was long in Judaism for a very, very long time. It was one of the mitzvahs. So you go through, and it's a cleansing ritual that you would go, and it would be for removal of sin, and then also for conversion. So you would come along if you were wanting to be, as a ceremonial washing, and you would get, if you want to be converted to Judaism, you would have this baptism, and then you would also have this but we're not talking about the circumcision portion this morning. And so it would be a signifying cleansing for a new life. And there's a famous person that is kind of our New Testament introduction into baptism, and he's known as John the Baptist. It's really nice when they just give him the title so you can like search it. So John the Baptist came along, and he was discussing why he did what he did. And so we're going to bring that up in John 1, 19 through 23. And it's up on the stage. If you have your Bibles, feel free to go along. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." That was a lot of double negatives. And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "No, I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." A straight way to the Lord. An unencumbered path. Not windy. When I think of this, I think of, have you ever been in a relationship with someone who didn't want to admit that they were in a relationship with you? Everyone's like, okay. So, do you feel like that was an unencumbered path in that relationship? The not wanting to admit that you were, the not sharing that you are in this relationship. Do you think of that as a strong and healthy relationship? Yeah. Again, we're going to be having lunch together later, and I want to hear all the stories. Okay. On the other side of this, now parents in the room, has there ever been a hesitation to declare that a child is yours? Miranda, we love your kids. I mean, I know, only when there's shame involved, I know. But all the rest of the time, we adore our children, even in their ridiculousness. Usually that is what I post on Facebook, is the ridiculous crazy, because you adore them, and that's a relationship that you want to have known, right? There's very real parallels here to having a healthy relationship with God, to having a wedding. Can you be in a healthy, loving relationship with another person without having any kind of ceremony declaring this to others? Yes. Yes, you can. I do not question that. Of course you can. Does that mean having a wedding is not valuable? Moreover, this is going to be such a weird little mind trail that we're going down, but stay with me. I think it'll make sense. Okay. Moreover, does it help you to remember who you have chosen to be, to have a wedding? I found that when life comes in, we can get distracted from ourselves pretty easily. And commitment, an out loud commitment, is valuable because it sets a base identity, something that's not going to change. This is you saying, this is who I am, and I'm setting this as a base. Now, full confession, I am not a believer in romantic love. That's not something we need to discuss right now, but I do believe that choice is essential, but that choice and making a choice and commitment is beyond valuable. Because it's important to know who you are and your values from one day to the next. Valuable, again, but just because something is valuable, it doesn't mean it's necessary, but it is a value. Of course, you could recreate the wheel every day and start every day fresh with being, I don't know who I am today, and let's see what the world brings to you, and I'm using a tone, but you can honestly do that, and that could be a beautiful thing. My instinct is saying there's a terrified, you're just being terrified of commitment. We're just going to go past that, but say if you're spending every day recreating who you are, that's a lot of time being directed back at yourself that could instead be directed out. So that's why we have these commitments. But this morning, we're not talking about whether or not you should propose to anyone, or that's not the point. That was just an analogy to get to this. It's about baptism. And this is what baptism is. It's a public declaration of an identity commitment. Right? It's going out and saying for others to see, unashamed, this is who I am. And I'm choosing this. Now we're going to come to what is probably, we just talked about the most well-known person to talk about baptism, John the Baptist. And now we're going to talk about the Great Commission, probably the most well-known passage about baptism. It's in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And this is from Jesus. Not that we don't take any parts of the Bible lightly, but we take them a little bit more seriously when they come from Jesus. Seriously was not the right word, but you know what I'm saying. All right, here we go. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's several important things here. I'm going to hit them. And we're going to kind of glass on them quickly, so stay with me. The first is this. There is a tendency among Christians to require a full understanding of Christ and God before baptism. But if you look at the Great Commission, it says, go therefore and make disciples of the nations. What is a disciple? They are those who want to seek to learn more. They are not ones who already know. I see something that's beautiful and important and shiny here. And I want to keep looking into this to know more. Second, and this is kind of a, if you don't really recognize it, this is a new twist in Judaism. Because beforehand, the Jewish people were meant to be a light to those into the world and to show them God, but evangelism was not part of that. There was not an active trying to go out and bring other people into the faith. This has changed that dynamic, right? And if you are at all like me, that is very uncomfortable. So let's hang out there for a while, shall we? All right. Some of my biggest judgments, my biggest critiques, prejudices, are usually against Christians. My biggest critiques are usually against Christians who take this and twist it into trying to care about someone's salvation, but not care about them. And that is not any reflection of a God that we know. A God that humbled himself to be with us, to know us. But that's not what's being instructed here. That was a twisting to go out and do that. Instead, what is being instructed here is something. Well, I have an example. But it's kind of odd, and it's weird for me to share here. But I have a hard time inviting people to come to River Park Grace. That seems weird. I understand that. But I'm really involved here, and it feels like bragging to me. That makes sense? But I'm totally wrong. And I know that. I still struggle with this. But I'm wrong, because when it's something that you've done and you're bragging about it, yes, you're boasting of yourself and not good pride, but when it's a treasure that's been given to you, then you're bragging on who gave it to you, right? And we have been given full permission to boast and brag on God. In 2 Corinthians 10:17, because I like to have just one-liners, but let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Free reign. All right. And that's a part of this, is going and baptizing and boasting in our Lord. And then it comes to another part, all of this wonderful, great commission. Baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I want to say this now, and I want to say it loud. Anyone who claims to understand the Trinity is lying, and you should question their taste in music. I'm just going to say that. I have heard many, many different characterizations about how to describe the Trinity. One of them, I like music, and I enjoy barbershops. So one of them is like a barbershop group, and there's different parts, and they all play together to make this beautiful music. And sometimes it's just like a person. I'm a mother, and I'm a daughter, and I'm a wife. I have all these different roles to me. And I think that is lovely and a watering down of divinity. So, but I feel like we need to have something to run with. So I'm going to offer up my Trinity explanation, and so you can judge my taste in music. I do like country and 90s angry white boy music. All right. Yes. Little Blink 182. Okay. So this is my characterization of attributes of the Trinity. There's the Father, who is God, holy and set apart from us. God the Son, sacrificially humbled for us. And the Holy Spirit, God residing in us. This baptizing, when we, what you are declaring, is you're declaring a knowledge of this and a want for all of that. Often it's said that the Spirit comes into you during baptism, and again, those people who have a lot of assurance saying these things don't know. And that very well may be, but there is something beautiful about admitting that is what I want, though. I want the good in me. I want God there. And there is very definitely a vertical portion to baptism. It's about God and you, but like with all of the disciplines, it's not just about God and you. There's always a horizontal part too. It's about us. Like with the Bible, tithing, community, all of the disciplines, there's always a horizontal portion. And it is a signal saying that I am letting others into the circle so they can speak into my life. And for those who have also shared this, you are saying, and now I want to speak into yours. And this is terrifying, right? And I get that. And you're like, especially since most of you are thinking, I have friends, and that's what they are for. But I would say that probably your friend group is a curated group of people who probably already agree with you, right? Like, I play D&D, and that is a curated group of people that are like me. And I can get the response to the questions that I have, like, do I see any good weapons dropped in this room? I do not. Roll full initiative. All right, moving on. But if you can envision and take a moment and think of you at your healthiest, mentally, emotionally healthy, does that you have any issue with people joining them in your life? Does that you have any doubt that if you're joining with someone else, you are there for their good? Right? Because in baptism, remember, we are not there. We are disciples. And we are seeking to be there. You're seeking us at our healthiest, best, holiest place. We are learning to be like God the Son, sacrificial and humble. Not there yet. Seeking it. Because there is a great value in a community who choose to share an identity. Unashamed. So this is where I'm going to leave you. I say that, it's going to be about 5 more minutes. With the shiny, shiny treasure of baptism. Because baptism is a treasure. It is valuable. It is unashamed public declaration of an identity commitment and an unashamed public joining of a community. This week, the leadership team and I were discussing our baptism stories this week. And since we're going to be eating afterwards, I highly recommend you go and talk to us about it. Doug's not here. His is hilarious. And Patrick's is as well. A lot of us is church camp related, no surprise. But I'll tell you mine. So I said earlier, I'm a pastor's kid. So I grew up in the church. It was a second home to me. And from a very, very young age, I was asking to be baptized. I was asking to be baptized. And I was turned down for a long, long time. My parents said, no. You do not understand what you are doing. And so they kept on waiting and waiting. And then eventually I was this like 10 and a half, and I was baptized. And I remember I got a very special Bible afterwards that said the date of my baptism. It was wonderful. And the pianist at the church, she came up to me and she gave me the biggest hug. It was a very sweet moment. But the importance of that, I remember this story. I can look back and remember this story. We are not talking about baptism as a salvation issue this morning, are we? No. But If you were baptized in some way and it's not something that you had a conscious decision in, that you cannot recall, then I want to urge you to be baptized. Because the point of it is to change an identity commitment and to join in a community. And those are choices that you make. So I want you to make those choices. Because there is something shiny, beautiful, and treasured and of value there. But it may not be necessary, but that doesn't mean it's not a good, good gift. Right? Going back to earlier, I was saying with identity, we also have a tendency to get distracted from ourselves pretty easily. And you know how people wear wedding rings? I don't. It's not because I don't love my husband. It has to do with I swell up a lot and change sides. Anyway, that's the point. But you wear rings as a reminder of a declaration that was made. And we're going to go into a time of communion now. The band can come up. And this is what this is. It's a reminder of a commitment that is made. It's a reminder of God the Son sacrificing humbly for us. We practice open communion here. That means if you feel so led, please participate. We put no barriers between you and the table. We do ask that you take it seriously, but we're just asking. Because we have a God who wanted us so much, that he wanted us to be filled with kindness and to know him, that he gave himself up. I mean, the sacrifice on the cross is huge, but I think the sacrifice of becoming human, really, one of us. Not only that, but then in some way with the Spirit being wanting to join with us in this journey. As a God who sacrificed again and again and again for us. And this is a time where we think of us. So as you come up to any time for these next two songs and partake the bread or the juice, I want you to ponder, if I can be so bold as to ponder whether or not you feel baptism should be in your future soon. But if nothing else, ponder what kind of love that must be that sacrifices so much for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mystery. Thank you for not being able to be fully known, God. Because my little human mind wrapping itself around a deity, that is not a deity to follow. Thank you for a sacrifice, undeserved and unearned. Thank you for showing us what love looks like. That when we give away, as you gave away for us, that is when we are fully yours. We thank you for your Son. Your whole being, Lord, and help us to see your will for us in this morning. In your precious and holy name.